Well, we've just been singing about faith, which doesn't mean wishful thinking. When the Bible talks about faith, it means looking at the evidence and trusting it. Not just creation or conscience, but Jesus, a real man who came in real history and spoke real words that people wrote down for us to read. God is there, and he is speaking today. And the wonderful thing is, he also hears us when we speak to him. So something we love to do when we gather as Christians is pray to him. I'm going to spend just a moment or two doing that now. If you want to join me, then do bow your head as we pray. Dear God, thank you that you are a speaking God, and you speak words of comfort and hope and peace to those who follow you. And we pray particularly for those who are facing a tough time at the moment. People like Ken, who's been unwell for some time, and Barbara now. And Dawn too, with cancer. And countless others that we know of, Lord. We pray for your peace and comfort. That in their pain they may know your presence with them and the great hope laid up for them by the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for our troubled world. Pray for the country of Egypt, where there was a bombing recently. Pray also for our government, that in all places across the world, your people may be known for their compassion and integrity, and that you will protect your people from further evil breaking out. Lord, protect us from confusion and from those who would try to kill and murder. Lord, we thank you that there is great hope in the message of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as people hear about him, they would realize that he is the great king that you promised, the one who brings forgiveness and the one who enables us to forgive our enemies. Lord, we pray for his peace to spread across the world. Amen. That's great news, isn't it? That God is there and he will hear us as we pray. But the question is, how do we hear God? Well, as I've said, God speaks to us through Jesus, and he speaks two things particularly that I want to look at today: forgiveness and transformation. Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and his two wonderful promises that we're going to think about today: forgiveness and transformation. Firstly, forgiveness. And God speaks forgiveness to us in many places. I just want to pick three verses from a New Testament letter from 1 John chapter 1. It says this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then he says in chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, and that's all of us really, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, there's three key words I've underlined. There's forgive, an advocate, and atoning. Forgive first. It's sad, isn't it? Some people we know, they never forgive. It's very sad that many of us have met that kind of person, or even that we know that kind of tendency in ourselves. It's hard to forgive. Maybe you know someone, you offended them long ago and you said sorry. Maybe they thanked you for the apology. Maybe you even made it up to them. You paid for the damaged window, or you gave back what you took, or all kinds of other things. You thought the relationship was fixed. But then tempers flare up later on and they raise the matter again, and it's so clear it isn't fixed. They have not really forgiven you. They still hold it against you. It's not just that trust needs to be built up again, but it's more than that. They want you to pay. They want you to suffer again for what you did. Some people think that God is like that. You admit you've done wrong. You've been going your own way. You're not listening to what God wants. Not listening to what he says. Been ignoring him and others. That's sin. And so you say sorry to God. You confess your sins and you turn away from all of that. And what does God do? Does he forgive and forget, or does he actually keep punishing you for it repeatedly? Well, the clear answer is, he forgives. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And he'll not only consider the action forgiven, he'll also look at you as pure, no longer guilty. He'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's such good news. God wipes the slate clean. And he does that because he's faithful and just. Faithful means he keeps his promises. What he says, he'll do. He's entirely consistent. He's the definition of integrity. And you think, well, what has God promised then? Well, he's promised that when you call out to him for rescue, he'll do it. For example, Romans 10 verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God definitely forgives people who rely on him for rescue because he's faithful and also because he's just. In other words, he doesn't double punish. He's a fair judge. The fine always fits the crime and there's no more. So if the fine is paid, you won't have to pay again. The question is, how does your fine get paid before God? Imagine standing before God as the judge and you admit you've done wrong. Well, how on earth are you going to be set free without paying the ultimate fine? Well, actually, the third word helps us here, atoning. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. That means that Jesus pays the fine for you and for me. Wonderful news. This is the basis on which God forgives people. Jesus pays the fine for you. On the cross, he was your representative and he took your punishment. And so God should be angry with you and me, but Jesus says, God be angry with me instead. And I think this is why the symbol of the Christian faith is a cross. The cross is where Jesus paid for our sins. Sadly, some people think and behave as though the symbol of the Christian faith is actually a ladder. As if the only way you reach God is just to somehow keep on climbing. You keep slogging away. You do your hardest to be good. But that wouldn't work for any of us. Because, well, for all of us, it's more like 2 steps forward and 5 steps back. For as many times as we get it right, we just can't stop ourselves from slipping in all kinds of ways. Maybe we fail to adore God 100%. Maybe we choose not to love the people or some of the people around us. Either way, we can't trust in a ladder. No, we trust in the cross of Jesus. We rely on Jesus to be our atoning sacrifice. That's how God can say, I forgive you. Well, the third word to notice up there is advocate. That's like a lawyer who speaks in your defense. He's the go-between between a perfect God and faulty sinners. So that's why in the middle verse there, 2 verse 1, he says, my dear children, I write to this so that write this to you so you won't sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is righteous. He's spotless. He never did any wrong. And that makes him the perfect go-between. He's the only advocate that God would ever accept to approach. What do you call it? The bench? The judge's bench? Is that right? I think so. So you can say to God the Father, look, when I died on the cross, I didn't pay for any sin of my own. I had none. I paid for this person and that one over there. And so, Father, be faithful and just. The fine has been paid. Forgive. And he does. God forgives and forgets. He speaks forgiveness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice who benefits from this. It's not the nice people or the naturally religious people or the clever people or those who are born in the right place. See how verse 2 ends. Jesus died also for the sins of the whole world. Now, sadly, some people in the world aren't interested. They'd rather pay their own fine. The trouble is our debts to God are unpayable. We're liable to an eternal sentence. But it doesn't need to be that way, because Jesus' sacrifice is enough to pay for anyone and everyone. Now, I'm gobsmacked at how many people say to me that they're too bad for Jesus. Do you know Jesus actually had a reputation for hanging out with all the bad people? He loved to be with the outcasts and the people others called sinners. Those they considered to be beyond the pale. But Jesus loved to be among them, like a doctor loves to be with his patients. A Saviour loves to receive people who admit their faults, because he can grant forgiveness to anyone. And the wonderful thing is, that's just the beginning of a relationship with God. Forgiveness is the basis of all the great stuff in life. The peace of knowing God's favour and protection. The joy of knowing that paradise with him awaits. And knowing the power of God inside to change you today. Now, I mentioned that the Bible doesn't just speak to us of forgiveness in Jesus. But God also speaks to us in Jesus of transformation. As we read the Bible, we hear all about Jesus and his promises of forgiveness and transformation. The question is, are we listening? Because some people hear the promises of God in Jesus and they turn a blind eye. It's almost like they never heard it. Some people almost see something about Jesus, but it's like a blindfold covers their eyes. Like a veil blocks their view of the glory of Jesus. If only they could see him, it would change everything. Well, this final verse to show you is all about transformation. It's from another letter in the New Testament, from the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this: so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. This is about transformation. And the whole picture here is drawing on how God showed himself in the Old Testament to the Jews. Like when Moses talked with God face to face, he saw the dazzling radiance and power of God, his jaw-dropping majesty, his magnificent purity, God's glory. And for a while, that actually made Moses a bit luminous. People could see that this man had been with God. Well, now, as we look at Jesus, we see God's face. The glorious, loving perfection of God himself. Remember that verse I read earlier, Hebrews 1 verse 3, says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And so knowing Jesus personally is life-transforming. Because as we look at Jesus, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes us more and more like him. We start to reflect the character of Jesus himself. Have you ever noticed that a husband and wife often pick up one another's mannerisms? I dread to think what Elizabeth now does, having been married to me for 19 years. But what we love, we copy. Have you ever noticed that a daughter picks up many of the values of her mother? Even some of her catchphrases. It's because what we love, we copy. And so you may have noticed that a real Christian starts to live like the Lord Jesus because they love him. What we love, we copy. And it's not just us reworking ourselves here. The Holy Spirit does this reworking. So even the people with the worst of backgrounds, even people who've been really screwed up by others, they can be transformed. See, this is what the Christian life is all about. Gazing on the glory of Jesus, knowing him, and being transformed by his power inside. What could be more delightful than looking at Jesus? He's wiser and stronger and kinder than anyone. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want to invite Tammy to come up. This isn't just off the cuff. She knows. I'm going to ask her three questions, and she's got something prepared, so she won't be completely terrified when she's put on the spot. Do you want to come stand by the speaker? Tammy, you became a Christian a while back. When did you become a Christian, and why was that?
Well, first of all, I've written it all down, because I know I'll fluff up and get my words wrong.
Step forward.
So when and why I become a Christian... Well, good morning. Okay, so I came to faith on Sunday, the 24th of March. And the reason why is because I've seen the goodness in people that has come from the Father and his Son. And I was inspired by other folk. For example, about 10 years ago, Elizabeth over there, I used to go to a sod group called Todderific with my now 10-year-old son, Jack, who's sadly not here. This is where I met a lovely lady, Elizabeth Epps, and we connected straight away. And she was always so kind and was willing to do anything for anyone. She let her faith be known and wore it with pride. I found this refreshing, although slightly daunting, as I thought she might have judged me, which she never had done, only ever guided me. So when I came to faith 10 years later, Elizabeth has only nurtured me and much, much more. Thank you.
That's a real encouragement to anybody who's got a friend who's not yet a believer, that just by being a good mate, you can really show them something of Jesus. So what has Jesus been saying to you recently?
Right. I'm a bit emotional this weekend, so do apologise. I know his words say he will not give more than we can bear and we'll go through trials and tribulations. And I've experienced this for the death of Megan.
So who was Megan?
My daughter, who died when I was 27 weeks pregnant. She died before 5 and a half. I miss her terribly. And in speaking to other folk that have also experienced such tragedy, that I've then realised that there is a greater plan that God has for me. And it's by walking by faith and not by sight what I truly understand the beauty of his words. My sister-in-law Denise, she was a God-fearing lady. She had been suffering many years through a back injury, which sadly left her crippled. Also, she battled through breast cancer and sadly this took her life, aged 60, only back in January. But still, she kept her faith and inspired everyone she came into contact with, me included. And regardless of how much pain she was in, Denise always made the effort to watch and admire God's beautiful creations, may it be a butterfly or an ant crawling up the wall. Jesus is continually speaking to me, not just through the Bible, but is also teaching me and speaking to me through my own life experiences, the blessings and the struggles, and also through other people's lives.
Awesome. That's cool. So how has he been changing you recently?
Well, firstly, I have a lot more changing to do. I'm a work in progress and I've not yet arrived. And as it is said in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God has given me strength to forgive those who have done me wrong, and I wish them no malice, as I am at peace with the things I cannot change. I've gained more patience with those who proceed to try my faith. I will continue to love and follow his word, as I am to know he will protect and guide me all the day long.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Do you want to add anything off the cuff?
No.
That's
he's
right.
Amazing.
I'll just put you on the spot there.
Yeah. Yeah, you do dare. So, yeah, I'll just say, follow the Lord Jesus, because he's the only way to go. And if you're not there, yeah, follow me and ask me questions afterwards.
Oh, so
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, some of you may be wondering, okay, if God speaks this forgiveness and this transformation, how do I hear his voice in just day-to-day life? Well, we've almost run out of time. There's enough time to tell you. Come back next week and find out more. Because I've asked the speaker next week, who's Stephen Green, an old friend of Longmeadow, to just share us some of the stories of how God is reaching out to Muslims across the world by giving them dreams and visions of the Lord Jesus. And as they read the Bible, they realize God is speaking to them words of forgiveness and transformation, of hope like they've never heard before. So God is doing great things in guiding people to Jesus in various ways. So I've asked Stephen next week to speak about guidance. So lots more to think and talk about on this theme. Why don't we bow our heads now and pray? Dear God, thank you that you're a speaking God, and that's practically inexhaustible because there's so much you speak about. I pray that just the basic message of forgiveness and the way you transform lives across the world will be something that stays with us, so that we'll trust and listen and follow and so be changed as we look at Jesus and enjoy his amazing love and forgiveness. And we pray that you'd walk with us and guide us. And we pray that next week we'd hear even more and understand more of how we can follow you in day-to-day life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.